The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Okay, now the US President Donald Trump will tonight make his first official State of the Union address of his second term in office. The address to members of the US Senate and House of Representatives obviously comes against the backdrop of a lot of things going on in the States, including that new global 10% tariff that Trump announced late last week. In a moment, we'll get a Republican reaction. But first off, we're joined by Anthony Zerker, BBC's North America correspondent. Anthony, apart from it probably being incredibly long, what can we expect from Donald Trump's State of the Union address tonight?
Yeah, in remarks yesterday, Donald Trump said it would be a very long speech, that he has a lot to talk about. He's going to be boasting of all the achievements he says he has accomplished over the past year. The White House has said that the theme of the speech is going to be celebrating 250 years in America. This is the 250th anniversary of America's founding on July 4th later this year. But the president is also going to focus on the economy, which is one of the biggest concerns among American voters, on affordability, the high costs. He's going to propose various steps he thinks can help make life more affordable for Americans. He may talk a bit about Iran and the U.S. military buildup that could lead to a military strike in Iran. And he's also going to talk about his legislative achievement, lowering taxes last year, his immigration enforcement, effectively stopping undocumented migration at the Mexican border, and reduced crime. This is a time when Donald Trump has faced some challenges. His popularity isn't as high as it has been in the past, but it sounds like it's going to be a very boastful, very optimistic speech.
You wouldn't expect anything else. Talk to us a little bit more about his ratings, his popularity ratings. How unpopular is he relative to other presidents, for example?
Well, it's not great. His popularity, his approval ratings in some of the polls that have just come out hover around the 40% mark. That's actually a little lower than Joe Biden was at this point in his presidency 4 years ago. And it's in that kind of red warning zone where if a president is under 40% going into the big congressional midterm elections in November, that's when the White House's party, the president's party, really takes it on the chin. And so I think that's one of the reasons why when the Republicans are gathered in the hall of the House of Representatives, the legislators there, they might be a little nervous because they're looking at an uphill race for re-election in a lot of these seats. And they may be worried that they may lose control of the House of Representatives, maybe even the Senate, because Donald Trump just isn't that popular right now, not popular on the economy and not popular on immigration enforcement, which used to be his big strength. So what helped deliver the White House to him just 2 years ago?
And just on the economy, what is it like at the moment? What is inflation? How are the price of eggs, I suppose, to get down to the bare bones? Yeah.
I think Donald Trump's going to boast about the price of eggs. They are down. What is up, however, is energy prices outside of petrol, but also cost of groceries, cost of consumer goods, cost of housing in particular. It's a kind of a mixed bag with economic indicators right now. Unemployment is low. Wage growth looks pretty good. The stock market keeps hitting or approaching new highs. But in the last week, we have figures on economic growth in the fourth quarter, which was significantly less than expected, about 1.4% rather than 2.5%, which was the consensus expectation. So there are these kind of storm clouds on the horizon, and Americans just aren't really satisfied with the state of the economy, you know, regardless of all of these different data points I give you.
Okay. Anthony Zerker, North America correspondent for the BBC. Thank you indeed for talking to the Hard Shoulder. Let's bring in Jennifer Ewing now, spokesperson for Republican Overseas UK. Jennifer, what are you hoping for from the President's State of the Union address tonight?
Hi. Well, I'm hoping two things. I do hope, and your correspondent mentioned, you know, that the theme is going to be the 250th anniversary of America that we have coming up this July. We're told the theme of the speech will be strong, prosperous, respected America. So I think you're going to see a very patriotic evening. We've got the U.S. men's hockey team fresh off their gold win against Canada. It's going to be there. So that'll be the positive, more easy things to do. I think his challenge, and again, your correspondent touched on this, will be the economy, because there's even though gas prices are significantly lower and, you know, middle class people have seen, you know, some significant tax cuts, if the average person is not seeing it in their everyday. So I think what he's going to have to do is not make the mistake that Biden did, where he looks at people and says, hey, everything's great, you know, because people simply don't believe that. We've seen that in the polls. So I think what he has to say is point out some of the good things he's done. Part of the reason people are not, you know, the border issue is not, you know, the top two issue anymore, like it was going into the election, is because the border's been closed. So people are actually happy about that. Yes, the aftermath has been a little bit of a mess, but I hope what he does is point out some of the many good things he's done and says, but, you know, here's where we're going to be next year at this time. So it's got to be about hang in there, and here are plans for how to make things better. Okay. There's no way around that. He has to do that.
What about the tariffs issue? Is he chastened in any way by that, or do you expect him to come out fighting in relation to that issue?
If what you mean is the Supreme Court pushing back on the emergency use of last week. So basically, they've already said that what they're going to do, and the Supreme Court knows they'll do this, is use some other ways of getting these tariffs through. So the problem was, and actually, if you read, not to get too deep into the weeds, but if you read one of the conservative judges who was against, or, you know, who was for the Supreme Court decision, said that we don't want to get in the habit of doing things like this under emergency usage, because it can be hijacked, you know. So it's not a bad point. But no, he is going to, you know, continue with his tariffs, which he sees as one of the biggest America First policies, encouraging people to do more, manufacturing and building onshore, which has happened, to be fair. You know, a lot of companies have said, you know, they're being incentivized by a bunch of different tax reasons to build onshore in the U.S. So no, he definitely will continue with tariffs. It's a tool that he sees, you know, whether it's negotiating, or he even gave some of the tariff negotiations credit for solving some of the problems with regards to India and Pakistan. We've seen it in his first administration and South America. So no, he is not giving those up. But what I do think, and this is good for all of us, because tariffs are not easy to understand and cause a lot of drama, even for people paying close attention, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be more detailed, and rather than just done on a whim, how he, quite frankly, has been doing it. You know, he wakes up one day and, you know, he doesn't like the tone of a politician in Switzerland, so they get more tariffs. This is going to go more through both the Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. So.
A couple of last things before we let you go. The midterm elections later in the year, do you share the nervousness that a lot of Republicans seem to have about the potential outcome of those elections?
Well, I mean, it's not so much nervousness, just as opposed to reality. I think very few, whether it's Democrat or Republicans, usually win the midterms after they've won the elections. Americans love, you know, a checks and balances. We like a mixed government. Obviously, you know, as Republicans, we'd like to hold the House and the Senate and the presidency, but that's not what the American people like. So I think other than George Bush, he, I think after 9/11, he kept the House and Senate. And I think that was just because there was such a, they liked what he was doing at that point, which, you know, history's kind of, that's strange. But so no, it's, history shows that the opposite house will take over at least one of the chambers.
Okay. Very finally, it's obviously known as the State of the Union Address. What say you to the notion that America has never been more divided than since the Civil War, than it is right now? Is that something you feel? Is that something you can understand when people say?
You know what? I think it is interesting. There's something about this man that really makes people divided. That's just a fact. And either people love him and they think he's bringing back patriotism and pride and middle class America and manufacturing back to our country and closing the border and not getting involved in every war possible. Or there are people that think he's absolutely ruining the country, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, as I said. So, yeah, I'm not going to argue with that, you know, he is a man who does seem to divide people. Now, part of that is people who I think will, if we look at this recent ICE situation, you know, with the illegal immigration issues, you know, President Obama deported way more people than President Trump had.
I suppose it's Tom the way Holman it's the it. Modus operandi, though, isn't it? Having these ICE officers.
Not. No, Shane, it's not. And I'll tell you why. And it's really important for your audience to know this, because the difference is in what's called sanctuary cities. So Obama got the sanctuary cities to basically cooperate with the local and state authorities to cooperate with the federal ICE authorities. Therefore, any deportations that needed to be done with criminals were done in the prisons. But what's happened under Trump is these governors of more left-leaning blue cities have said, nope, we're not going to cooperate. So the local and state authorities have not cooperated with ICE, and therefore you see these ugly, ugly scenes playing out in the streets. And you'll notice you haven't heard much about Minneapolis in the last couple weeks, and that's because the governor has finally started to agree to let ICE into the prisons to get the criminals there.
Okay. Jennifer Ewing, spokesperson for Republicans Overseas UK, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.